Good afternoon. I'd like to bring House Resources Committee to order. This is April 15th, and it is about 2:20. President or Representative Wilson, Representative Dick, Representative Foster, Co-Chair Feige, and myself, Co-Chair Seaton. Remind everybody to turn off their cell phones. And today we're going to hear a presentation from Janus Methanol and subsidiaries, and I'm going to let the three folks that have come in introduce themselves and put themselves on the record. Brief at ease.
I just want the...
We will have a lot of things going on, and I know Representative Munoz had to go to another hearing, and other people are having additional hearings. So if people come in or have to leave for other hearings, please understand where they're not. It's not because they don't want to hear your presentation. Also, I'd like to let you know that there are two cameras in the room, one's up here viewing this way and the other this way, so that that's streaming live video going out, just so everyone's aware. And just so the committee knows, I was talking to Charles Sink and Dio Van White.
Yep.
Yesterday, and so they were able to come down and make this presentation to us. I thought it would be very valuable because we were talking about different gas line scenarios, different ways of monetizing gas on the North Slope, and so they have a program that they are actively talking with the producers, and so we are pleased to have you here today. And so we've loaded up the presentation that we had received, and the members have that as well. So we, just for your information, there's a screen in front of you, so we're not ignoring the screen behind us. When we're looking at this, we're looking at the screen as well.
Perfect.
So are you going to need to use any pointer or anything? Or
I don't think so.
Okay. So go ahead and introduce yourself. And the one thing is that if you change testifiers back and forth, if each time you would just say your name so that our recording secretary will be able to identify who's talking.
All right.
I'm Tom Roach. I'm with the T.P. Roach Company in Houston, Houston-based consulting company, energy industry, and project development.
My name is Dio Van Wijk. I'm in methanol since 1977. I have built 8 methanol plants over the world, the last 3 in Trinidad and Tobago, 2 of which are mentioned in the presentation, the Titan methanol plant with a capacity of 2,500 tons a day, and the first 5,000 tons a day methanol plant, the Atlas methanol plant, with a new technology developed by my engineers together with Luigi in Frankfurt.
I'll just introduce myself briefly. My name is Charles Sink. I work for Chugach, the regional nonprofit for the Chugach region. I have the title of Director of Enterprise and Trust Services. I've been working in renewable energy on the biomass side, and that's how I met Tom. And Tom introduced Mr. Van White to us, and then convinced him to come up and do a scoping of his technology and how it would fit here in Alaska.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, what you see here is a presentation we made during the MPRA, the National Petroleum Refinery Association, in San Antonio, Texas, of a couple of weeks ago. Janus Methanol AG is a Swiss-based company with offices further in Germany, the Netherlands, Porter, Texas, and I happen to be the chairman of the company. And we are looking today at complexes to build in the Netherlands, in Russia, in Mozambique, in Texas, and possibly Alaska. What we need is huge volumes of natural gas. And a minimum capacity we need is 640 million a day, so 2/3 of a BCF of gas. ESC, the Titan and Atlas methanol plants, we developed both projects together with BP in Trinidad and Tobago. By having one of the major players involved, of course, it makes it right away bankable. We are a relatively small company, so we have to be creative. We have to be at the forefront of technology to convince large companies that we have something special, and we seem to be very successful in that. My group has, in the meantime, in excess of 500 years of methanol experience, and there's no group, no company in the world who has that amount of methanol experience ever. Here you see Trinidad and Tobago. When I came the first time in Trinidad in 1984, this was empty. This was sugarcane country. Today, about $15 billion has been invested in the country, and thousands of people find employment in the Point Lisas industrial estate. You can learn a lot of things from the Trinidadians, including the mistakes they have made. If you see, this is really a hodgepodge of ammonia, methanol, steel industry, aluminium, everything. Nobody thought through to design an estate with logic. This was really, when I was a kid, you know, I would have a knife and I would carve peas out in the soil, and we would throw a knife, and then we would straight the line, and then that would be my piece, and then you were allowed to throw, and then you had your piece, and I was allowed. So is Point Lisas done. That's the way not to do it. But they were very successful, as you can see, in tracking lots of industry. Gigamethanol technology. We were the first ones to build the first 5,000 tons a day methanol plant in Trinidad and Tobago. That's the mega methanol technology. In the meantime, six of those plants have been built. Due to financial tightness, I had to sell my company Saturn to Methanex, and I was 10 years out of the business, but it didn't mean that my engineers didn't do anything. They developed the technology for the next step, going from 5,000 tons to 10,000 tons a day. And we like to build them in clusters of two, so 20,000 tons a day, or 7 million tons of methanol a year. The problem with that is the chemical market for methanol, excluding China, is about 31 to 32 million tons a year. Including China, it's about 46 million tons a year. So if you build one of those clusters of 7 million tons, or two, or say four of those plants, you would dominate the world of methanol. Then you have a problem. You know what's going to happen with the price of methanol. It's going to go down the drain. So that is where we went. And last year I was at a conference in Moscow, and I was a speaker called Samuel Tebeck of ExxonMobil. And ExxonMobil introduced their new, very old methanol to gasoline technology. The first plant, the MTG plant, was built in New Zealand in 1982. Remember, 1979, the second oil crisis. Prices went through the roof, and New Zealand, being scared, being left out far in the world, they decided to go to methanol to gasoline. Commercially a success. Technically a success, but commercially, the 1990s came, oil went down to $10 a barrel, this project went down the drain. And then Exxon bought Mobil, and basically the technology was forgotten. China then built another new MTG plant, and based on coal. China has a disadvantage, having no other natural resources but coal. So all petrochemical projects in China are based on coal. disadvantage of coal is that it's very expensive to build. It's much cheaper to build from natural gas. Here you see the Atlas plant in Trinidad. In 2008, it had 360 steam days and was running at 108% of nameplate capacity. It was the best performing plant ever built. What do we change now? Here you see the basic, the heart of the plant. You see the air cooling. You see the distillation section. You see the fire heater. The syngas generation, syngas compressor, and the mint methanol synthesis. What our engineers did is they said, where can we save and what are the biggest, most expensive pieces of the plant? That's the syngas generation. The steam reformer represents about 20 to 25% of the total investment. And the syngas compressor is, in this way, a seven-stage compressor. It's a cost of €25 million and very vulnerable to breakdowns. So our engineer said, if you can get rid of that piece of equipment, that steam reformer, which every methanol producer at least once managed to burn all the tubes, and a tube nowadays does cost $100,000, and you burn 700 or so, that's a ticket item, plus your downtime. So we were able to do that. We skip the steam reformer. It was proven in Chile 4 by Luigi. It was possible to produce methanol without a steam reformer, but with an auto, but with a different reformer, autothermal reformer. And you see the part of the ATR which already was applied in the Altos plant on the right side of the picture. That is one of the two vessels of the reactor. Here you see them full face. The right one is gas cooled. The left one is water cooled. So instead of that whole huge mushroom you see, we now only need three of those vessels to go to 10,000 tons a day. An additional advantage, the steam reformer limits you to the pressure. You can run a steam reformer only at 30 to 35 bar, and if you take the steam reformer out, you can go to 60 bar. So the same size of plant will produce double the volume. You have learned that all in high school. Well, increase the pressure, double the volume. So over there, syngas compressor is gone. The major compressor is that's, and we replace that by a booster, which does not cost 25 million, but only 4 million euro. So that's where you find the savings. We changed the fire heater. We can go now to a horizontal fire heater. And here you see a large sea water system. We would not need something that big, for example, here in Alaska or in the Gulf. We needed it so big in Trinidad because the delta T is maximum 3 degrees difference between water intake and water return. The Caribbean being so shallow, and you would destroy water life if you return according to world standards. So what happens is that we are able to reduce the cost per ton installed annual capacity. If you would build today a 3,000 tons a day methanol plant, that would cost you $1,000 per ton annual installed capacity, or $1 billion. Atlas would cost you today, and we built the plant ourselves, so we know it very well, would cost you today about $600 per ton annual installed capacity. Step which we take now, going to 20,000 tons a day, it brings the capital cost per ton installed capacity to about $300 a ton. So in 20,000 tons or 7 million tons a year, you can produce for about 2 billion, or built for about 2 billion, whereas a 1 million ton per day, a year plant, you cannot build for a billion. So that is where savings are.
Was that 2 billion? Was that in dollars or euros?
Dollars.
Dollars.
About between two and two point one billion dollar. Mr. Chairman, depends a little bit on the exchange rate, of course. Now we have this big plant, 7 million tons, and we want to build more. So what can we do? The traditional chemical market cannot have that. We can go to methanol to propylene. We can go to methanol to olefins. Both technologies, in my mind, not yet commercial proven, technical proven, but not yet commercial. And for me, commercial is that you make money. Okay? And the last one, methanol to gasoline. And that's why we are here. I mentioned to you already, China, New Zealand. This is the plant in New Zealand. And here is the process, but I don't think we should go in here very much. And this is the plant in China. So both are real, it's proven. Here you see the specification. See octane, 92. And what is very important, very low in benzene and zero sulfur. What we produce in a methanol to gasoline plant is two products. We, out of 7 million tons of methanol, we produce 3 million tons of gasoline and 4 million tons of water, potable water, which we could use, for example, for agriculture purposes or for cooling purposes, whatever is needed. Here you see the specification. As you can see, we meet virtually all US specifications. In fact, we meet all specifications. No sulfur, very low in benzene, RVP right in the middle, low in olefins, even aromatics, we are the same. Here is something very important. All the majors have always investigated gas to liquids via Fischer-Tropsch route. Billions and billions of dollars have been spent. If you see what you produce, the Fischer-Tropsch route, yes, you produce some fuel gas, some LPG, naphtha, but you also produce lots of wax. And you go methanol to gasoline route, we produce a little bit of LPG, we use some fuel gas, we have a yield of about 89% to gasoline in the compression. And no other byproducts but water.
Representative Feige.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to clarify assumption, I believe on the previous slide,
yeah,
you had Fischer-Tropsch with an iron catalyst and Fischer-Tropsch with a CO catalyst?
Yeah.
Cobalt?
Yeah.
Is that okay? It's been a while since I dealt with the periodic.
Yeah.
And the difference in those two is that's 220 centigrade or 340 centigrade. Is that the temperature?
Yes, sir.
Is that what those are operated at?
Okay.
And what is the temperature that the MTG process runs at?
The methanol part runs at a temperature of 1200 degrees C, including the steam gas. The gasoline part blows at a substantially lower temperature. It's in several steps. We make methanol, then we need a methanol contains 56% water. We have to separate the water. We do that through dimethyl ether, which is a very small plant compared to the methanol plant, and then from the DME, we go to the gasoline. If there are any questions on this slide, these are numbers from ExxonMobil, and the total plant cost, as you can see here, is at $4 billion. We have, but the difference is that ExxonMobil designed or estimated this plant on the design of the Atlas methanol plant, which we happened to build. And when I talked to the first time with ExxonMobil, it was funny, because they used 5,000 tons a day, and they said, yeah, but from the Atlas methanol plant, the largest methanol plant in the world. I said, yeah, I know that plant, I built it. But now I come to you and talk to about you about 20,000 tons a day. It was dead silent on the phone. So today's estimate for a Gulf Coast plant is $2.6 billion, including the whole, including methanol, DME, and methanol to gasoline.
So this, what we're seeing here is 2.6, and is that, that's the MTG with no carbon capture, or with carbon capture, the 2.6?
That's including carbon capture.
Including carbon capture, 2.6 billion, and that is for 20,000 tons a day.
20,000 tons a day, or about 8,600 tons of gasoline a day, or about 63,000 barrels of gasoline a day.
Okay, Representative Feige.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I assume if you capture the CO2, you're going to re-inject it for tertiary well
recovery? Yeah. Why wouldn't you use it?
Yeah.
Makes a little bit more oil. I don't think the oil boats will complain about that. This is a plant which I don't know whether that is suitable for Alaska. This is a project we have going on in Mozambique. You see on the top right side two methanol plants, each with a capacity of 10,000 tons. Then on the left side, you see NH3, that's two, which is ammoniac. And we plan to build there two ammonia plants, each with a capacity of 7,500 tons. And you see a whole range of downstream products, partly based on methanol, partly based on ammonia. So you see formaldehyde, gasoline. The country needs badly gasoline and diesel. The country is so poor that it's the fifth poorest country in the world. Life expectancy of the people is 37 years. Its population of 23.5 million and 350,000 have a job. And of that 350,000, 150,000 is government, so only 200,000 work. So they badly need jobs. For methanol, you can go to acetic acid, to VAM, cellulose acetate, the whole shebang. What you see here is really a C1 petrochemical complex. Total about 25 plants. And the workforce needed, once everything is operating, is between 40,000 and 50,000 people on site. You see also the dimensions here. It's huge, the amount of land we need, because in this country there is nothing. No water, no power, and no housing. So if you have at the end 40,000 to 50,000 people working on site, that's a community of 300,000 to 350,000 people. Oh, it's not complete. There's just pieces missing. But can you just do this?
What is it?
That is. Yep. Two sides. Let me, if you set of two sheets, and part is lack of knowledge from my side. I have honestly no clue what the construction costs are on the North Slope. The numbers you see in front of you are Gulf Coast estimates. What I have done is, after talking to BP, I got the indication to double the capital investment. So, for the North Slope, and this has to be checked because I only got those numbers yesterday and I have to go to talk to some more engineering people, we put the project cost not at 2.6 billion, but at 5.2 billion. Which means the depreciation linear over 15 years doubles to $116 a ton. We also say, and this is arbitrary of course, we want to have a return on investment of 20% after tax. That boils down to $347 per ton of methanol, of gasoline, sorry. Then we presume that you guys want to have some money too. So we also included 35% tax, just a guesstimate, over gross revenues. And that's another $186 per ton. The oxygen plant, which we normally buy over the fence, I assumed also to have double the cost. So we go to $84 a ton of oxygen we need per ton of gasoline. During actual operations, we need about 225 people, whereas during construction, we will need between 2,500 and 3,000 people. But during actual operations, about 225. And again, I have no clue about the salaries in North Slope, but I guess they're high, so I set it at $150,000 a person. Boils down to $11.25 per metric ton of gasoline. Other operating expenses, I just added $50 million, so that went up to $49.50 per ton, and I even increased the cost of catalyst to $15.25. Mind you, then you have a cost per ton of gasoline of $810, but you have a margin in there, a gross margin, of $533 per ton. It's gross margin. Now you have to add the feedstock cost. The feedstock cost is natural gas. In the case of North Slope, I would expect the gas to be in the lower range of the table you see here, from $2 to $10 per million BTU. So, at $2 a million, let me do a step back, what I forgot to explain. In one metric ton of gasoline, you have 367 gallons of methanol. So, of gasoline. So, your cost of $810 a ton comes down to $2.20 per gallon, excluding natural gas. If you add $2, you add 43.6 cents, so you are $2.65 per gallon of gasoline, however, with a profit of $1.45 included. So the real cost at $2 a million is $1.20. That's including full depreciation, everything. Now, over margin, you can argue. Should it be 15%? 20%? I don't know. It's what the world allows you to make. So, here we have the potential, even at doubling the construction cost, so by 100%, we can produce gasoline in here at $2.65, $2.85, depending on what gas price you want to use, $2 to $3, including a $1.45 margin. And if you compare that to today's wholesale prices, in excess of $3 a ton, or $3 a gallon, sorry, in excess of $3 a gallon, you still have more margin. You don't make $1.45, but you're more close to $2 at today's prices. A gallon profit. Why is this possible? I gave you previously $1,000 per ton annual installed capacity, $600 per ton annual installed capacity, and $300 per ton annual installed capacity. If you take the 20,000 tons a day methanol plant, 80% of the investment is the methanol part, and 20% of the investment is the DME gasoline part. So it's extremely sensitive to the front end. Once you have the front end financially under control, the rest rolls out of it. Then it becomes a piece of cake. So what is the potential for you? I've heard availability of, and I'm not sure, because we are here just on finding our way trip. First trip to Alaska. I've heard numbers that there would be 4.5 BCF of gas available in the North Slope. That's the equivalent of 14 of these plants with a capacity in methanol of 1.12 million barrels a day. Methanol has an additional advantage. You can blend it with oil, and it keeps the oil fluid. I have some different information. I've heard that the Tusk pipeline has been 2 million barrels a day, and I've heard 4 million barrels a day. But today, it's running at about 640,000 barrels a day. And because of the low volume, you have viscosity problems, you have frost problems, the water in the oil will start to freeze. When you inject methanol, at least 30% of methanol, it will not happen. And that's what I'm doing in Siberia, and I'm working on projects in Siberia. It's exactly the same. Siberia has lots of oil, can't move it because it freezes up, unless you inject methanol or gasoline. The idea is then to ship the slurry, oil methanol slurry, to Valdez, distill then the methanol again out, and make gasoline at Valdez, and ship the gasoline, if it's my choice, probably to Japan and other countries in the Far East, because there's a funny law called the Jones Act, which I'm not willing to pay for, and I don't think the gas producers either. So if I would be forced to sell to California, for example, we would get penalized, and you would get penalized, because the gas price will be lower, the natural gas price will be lower, the netback, than it is if we can ship it to the free market. And I think I cannot imagine that Alaska can be very happy with the Jones Act either, because in my view, it will cost you a lot of money. Anything you have to import with an American ship costs you money. But I think it's time for questions, Mr. Chairman.
Can you go over and identify yourself and talk into the microphone?
This is Tom Roach. I was just suggesting to Dale that talk about what the impact would be or the potential is with the 4.5 billion cubic feet a day that is the design basis for the TransCanada pipeline. If that gas was used for this application, we're talking 14 trains instead of two trains. So it would be an investment that would spread over 15 years or longer, much greater impact, and with that, fully utilizing the taps.
Yeah, you would have then about, my name is Dale Vermeek, you would have then in the plants about 1,500 people probably over the seven complexes, and a constant construction of probably about 3,000 people for 15 to 18 years. So it's a rather substantial job. You would then produce 140,000 tons of methanol a day, and that is the equivalent of about 450,000 barrels of gasoline a day. Now, what you now do is you have changed your low price gas into a huge money maker. If you export natural gas, let's say, from the North Slope to the lower 48, my view is, because of shale gas, that we will see natural gas to remain in the next 10 to 15 years in the range of $4 to $6 a million. If you would put that on a pipeline back to North Slope, you would probably end up with a negative value at North Slope. And that's why the guys are pumping around the gas, and you keep on pumping around the gas more and more and more, because they have an alternative. And they may claim, yeah, but it's valuable. Nonsense. You can put in other things too, like seawater. It solves the same problem. So it's something people tell you, the gas has a value. Right. Unless you make something out of your gas. And you can make an awful lot of gasoline, or you could look at, for example, being interested in a chemical complex, which I showed you before, at C1 chemical complex. These are the tools which are today available, technical proven. But, okay, North Slope is not an easy climate. I have no problems in building the methanol plants down there. I have no problems in building the gasoline plants down there. But I would have big problems in having the downstream products, which I showed you. I would scratch three times my head before I would say, I'm going to build there urea or, yeah. Well, let's find a little bit more friendly environment than the North Slope, especially as from the North Slope, we can put it on the existing pipeline, which has been paid for already and underutilized. Very often, Mr. Chairman, the best solutions are the simplest solutions. And I found this solution by pure accident, by ExxonMobil in Russia, in Moscow, giving a speech. And I'm on the same panel as the ExxonMobil guy, and he talks about this MTG technology, which I knew already for 30 years. And a few days later, I took a little piece of paper, and I made the calculation. Can't be true. Do it different. So I gave it to a Lurgy engineer. You make the calculation. He came with the same numbers. Then I gave it to Jim Jordan of Jordan and Associates, without telling him what the product was. I just gave him the key data. He came with the same numbers. In early December, we then had a large meeting with high up people in the ExxonMobil organization, and I was sitting in a room with a room full of ExxonMobil guys, like I'm sitting here with you. And of course, there's always a smart ass guy who says, yeah, but this number is not wrong, it's not right. The leader of ExxonMobil said, shut up. Even if the guy is 50% wrong, he's still 100% right. And at the end of the day, I asked the chief guy, you are ExxonMobil,
So do I have to convince now another 99,994? I looked at me. No. Less than 10. That's the level we are at, is ExxonMobil. We have already an offer for license for them for Africa, also for certain places in Russia. Next week, the 20th, I'm in Virginia, Fairfax, Virginia, for another meeting with ExxonMobil. We know, and they know, that this technology is going to change geopolitically, geoeconomically, and geosocial the world. Because poor countries will not be so rich, so poor anymore if they have natural gas. And the rich countries, which do have either lots of sand or your special friend Hugo Chavez, may not export that much oil anymore, because you have the potential, as the United States, in 10 to 15 years, to go from 1.5 billion every day. You send those checks for 1.5 billion to Hugo and your friends in the Middle East, and you could reduce that to zero. To zero. You couldn't do it faster because you don't have the engineering power, the construction power, you know, but you could have the first plant online in, say, 5 years' time. 2015, 2016, you could be in production.
Thank you. And I want to recognize that Representative Munoz has joined us, and Senator Wagner has been with us. The screen, I know you were watching behind us, but now we're having the conversation. Would you like to join us up here so you can directly?
I'm all right, but I'd like him to repeat the one formula conversion. Was that 450,000 gallons or barrels?
Barrels.
From, and what was the front end figure you used?
I use 140,000 tons a day.
140,000 tons. That'd be the 14 trains.
Yes.
Can you come up and speak into the microphone first? It's hard for our recording secretary if we're having conversations other than at the mic. So, Senator Wagner, this is a we'd appreciate it if you want to come up and join us. We got spare chairs up here, and then you can have that face to face, and you can have a microphone, and then we can get it all on the record.
That's all I wanted to hear right there.
Oh, yep.
Mr. Adams,
if you wouldn't mind repeating the question, we can get the answer on the record so that
sure. Be there. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Tom Wagoner. Yeah, I just asked him about the conversion from the 140,000 ton per day throughput on his maximum number of trains to 450,000 barrels a day.
Yeah. 140,000.
Which would either be blended or batched?
Most likely batched.
Blended.
No, sorry, blended. Most likely blended, because you want to have the oil fluid as well.
Change the viscosity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
And which
the numbers
which page,
were...
Just a minute. Which page were you talking off of?
That wasn't a page. That was something he had mentioned in his presentation, just... It wasn't. I don't think the figures are on a page exactly.
No, so I can give you the figures.
He calculated it up from.
Yeah.
Oh, that was from the 4.5 billion
yes.
cubic feet.
I calculated what if you have 4.5 BCF, what could you produce?
The number of trains.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we can build 14 trains. Each train consumes 320,000 BTU. But remember, I like to build them in pairs, so it's 640. 14 trains would produce 140,000 tons of methanol a day. To convert that into barrels, multiply it by 8, then you are at 1.12 million barrels of methanol a day. Your yield is 43%. Remember, maybe you were not there, but methanol contains 56% water. So you take the water out, resulting in a production of about 450,000 barrels of gasoline a day. And that is one heck of a refinery. A world-scale refinery today is 200,000 barrels a day, which will cost you at least $10 billion, not counting whether you can get it permitted or not. It hasn't been given a permit for a refinery in more than 25 years. This is permittable. Here you can get permits for.
And Senator Wagner.
The water that you come up with, that could that is that pure enough that it could be used for hydrofracking in shales?
Absolutely. In fact, it's so pure that you could drink it, but I would not suggest that we start bottling it and selling it for $1 a bottle.
Thank you.
It's, of course, very important that when you return water, that you have a very clean quality. Like in Africa, in that poor country I was talking about, we will build their ammonia and urea as well, but they still have the problem, they have no water. So we will use that water for irrigation purpose. So now you give them fertilizers, you give them water, you give them work.
Well, thank you. And I'm wondering if you could update the two sheets that you handed out to us so that it's so that we have on paper which ones were doubled. I mean, we have the double capex of the 2.6, but you were.
I did it by hand. If somebody can make photocopies.
Sure.
Yep. Then, no, this one is clean.
Okay, that would be great if we have that. Then we'll not be trying to remember and our jot downs. Representative Wilson.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize because I wasn't here for a lot of it, so you probably answered this. But when I got back, you said that there would be so many jobs for 15 years or so.
Yes.
And how come it stops at the end of 15 years?
Because then the plants itself will have about 1,500 people that will go indefinite, but the other people, the 3,000 people construction, I presume that after we have reached that 4.5 BCF gas consumption, then we stop building construction. So those jobs would then disappear. But it's going to be a 15 to 20 year process. That's for sure.
Well,
you have to build these kind of trains, yes. The train to build, and I said that before, you may not be there, I don't have experience in the North Slope, and that's a special animal. The normal construction time for a plant this size is 36 months. Construction time. In order to finance and engineer it, you need another 2 years. So it's 5 years from the day you say go, 5 years.
Mr. Chairman, this is Charles Sink. He's talking about a two-train plant.
Yes, okay, and I was going to explain that for Representative Wilson. They're talking about a single-train plant is 10,000?
Two trains.
This
is the minimum of the long bill.
Right, but
I mean... $640 million a day, and that would be at $300 a ton installed capacity based on Gulf Coast.
And that was the Atlas design...
Atlas is $600.
Okay, so this is...
Two trains
of Atlas size, which is in our handout.
I did it by hand, as you can see. Maybe for Representative Munoz, what I did is I just doubled the capital cost by 100% and gave the new numbers. And you see on the right side, before you add the feedstock cost, the number of $810. However, that number contains $533 a ton gross profit, of which 35%, we assumed, goes to the taxman. And if I did it right, that would be at that level. Would be $558 million per year on tax. And that's not counting, how do you call that, the royalty. Yeah.
Okay, so I Did you make those calculations on here, or this is 810?
Yes.
And then and the 530?
If you see upstairs, ROI over to 5.2 billion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Return on investment up there, yep. The second line down.
Yep.
And then the tax at 35%.
Yep. I doubled the oxygen cost. I adjusted the labor to $150,000 a person. I have no clue. I increased the operating expense to $150 million instead of $100 million. And I increased the catalyst a little bit, although I don't see a reason to do that. But that is also gross $810 per ton. You have 367 gallons of gasoline in one metric ton. So you divide 810 by 367, you come to $2.20.5 a gallon, excluding natural gas. You see the next page, $2 a million BTU, or $160 per ton, gives you, and you need 80 million BTU to produce 1 ton of gasoline, or in gallons, you have to add 43.6 cents to your $2.20.5, so you end up at a gasoline price of $2.64. However, that includes $1.45 gross margin, of which 35% goes to the taxman. So your effective cost, your real cost, is $1.20 per gallon. And that is based on $5.2 billion investment, linear depreciated 15 years, and all equity.
Sure. Reverend Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And forgive me, I'm very new to this, and there's a lot of technical information. I'm still stuck at what's a train.
A train, okay. Let me go back.
Thank you.
I was assuming it wasn't the normal
physical
train.
This is a train. If I may borrow the pointer you offered me earlier.
Okay. There's two buttons if you hit the...
Yep. This is one train.
Here
you see the Titan methanol plant, that's another train. That is what we call a train. And here you can see the development in technology. Mm-hmm. This is the steam reformer in the Titan methanol plant. And the steam reformer, and that plant has a capacity of 2,500 tons a day. This is the steam reformer in the Atlas. This steam reformer is with 5,000 tons a day capacity, is smaller than this steam reformer. Less tubes. And now we do away with that whole steam reformer.
Thank you.
Follow-up, Representative Foster.
I was just curious what the involvement of Chugach-Mute was in this, and I guess kind of what I was looking for was, I didn't know if, to the extent that you're involved, you're going to maybe look at doing a feasibility study. How could this be fit into Alaska? Is Chugach-Mute involved to that extent?
Mr. Chairman, this is Charles Singh speaking. My involvement is loosely based on my acquaintance with Mr. Roche. He and I had worked on some biomass projects for some small communities in my area, and I've known Tom for about 4 years. And he brought Leo Van Wyk to Alaska, and Mr. Van Wyk did not have an Alaska contact, and so I volunteered to serve as that purpose. Just prior to coming to Juneau this morning, I met with my boss, Patrick Anderson, and Patrick spoke on how our utilization could be if a project like this were to come to fruition, and also for my participation. Just a little background on myself. I run an eclectic division because Chugachmute is the native nonprofit serving the health and social services of the people in our region. I run a division that has, among other things, a village protection safety officer program, an EMS trainer. I deal with real estate and forestry, and then I do economic and business development for our individual tribes. In fact, I'm trying to start some A-Days for our tribes that do not have them right now. And I just started one business for the tribe and one for Chugachmute. And so we have an entrepreneurial side, which I represent at Chugachmute. And Patrick's concern was the Native involvement in maybe some of these projects, mainly on the employment side, the quality of the jobs and the sustainability of jobs. And that's what he spoke to Mr. Van Wyk about.
Thank you.
Good thing, and just so everybody understands, Fort Graham and Nanwalek, two villages that I represent, are in Chugachmute region. So,
Mr. Chairman, may I comment once more on this as well? It has always been my philosophy that I want to use as much local personnel as is possible. I will train them in other plants, and then we'll take them in the country in the plants. In the beginning, of course, we need expats. For training purposes, but we know how expensive expats are, so we'd like to get rid of them ASAP.
Okay, and thank you. That was Mr. Van Wyk. Senator Wagner.
Just a question on the area that each train takes. How many acres?
Acres, about 40 acres.
40
per train.
Acres.
Per train. That's including tankage.
Including which?
Tank farm.
Oh, and
the. You see here several tanks. Let me point it out. These are water tanks.
About 1,200 square.
These are so-called day tanks. You produce methanol for 12 hours in one of those tanks, and then you check the quality, and thereafter you put them in the large shipping tanks. And from there, you go to the ship, or the pipeline in this case, per day.
And I don't think we covered it before, but methanol is commonly known as wood alcohol, is that?
That's correct. 1658, John Drake. 1651, John Drake. Wood alcohol.
Just so everybody had that understanding.
No. It's nothing new. We had to buy gasoline a couple of days ago. And what I saw at the filling station was a window wash fluid. That's 50% methanol. Now, methanol is a very battled about product. You know that in the 1980s, California tried to introduce M85, M100, etc. Of course, big oil didn't like that. And Mobile then adds like methanol is poisonous. If you drink methanol, you go blind. And you could. So I asked, but I didn't have the money to have put those ads in the newspaper as they could. But at conferences I would ask, yeah, Mr. Mobile, how was your last sip of gasoline? Or how was your latest diesel? Okay? Methanol takes the paint off your car. Do you use window wash fluid? Or do you live in California? La La Land. No. You use it every day. Do you know that methanol is in 4% of all products made? Here. Wood. Formaldehyde. Glue. Most of the ladies wear nylon stockings. Methanol plus pyroxylene. That's nylon. You wear it. Everything where it's nylon, it's methanol. It's made originally for methanol. It's so much products, you have no clue. And now, I like to come back and do to the oil companies what the oil companies did to me when I was methanol. So now let's come back with gasoline. It's daylight.
Are there further questions? Do any of the three of you wish to add on to the testimony here at all or give us some other information?
I would like to make one more remark.
Sure.
This is so simple, so revolutionary, that this can change the future of this country, not only of Alaska, but of the United States of America. With the reserves of gas, also on the mainland, 150 years at least of natural gas, this can be changed the whole picture. You don't need to send any troops more than to the Middle East. You don't need to fight about the oil. Bye-bye, guys. You don't need it. You have it yourself. With the American workforce and make American gasoline and cheap. The tables are here. Exxon didn't disagree with my numbers. They did not disagree with my numbers. They know it's coming. On Monday, I'm in Bishop, Texas, where probably the first plant will be built in Texas.
And when you say the first plant, you mean the first plant of this dual design?
Yes, sir.
Because I just want to reiterate, you've got four functioning plants, or you've built four functioning plants around the world?
Correct.
At this point.
Yeah, that's the intention, to build four plants over the world, at least. And one would be in Texas. If I build four of these plants just for methanol alone, I would kill my own business. Because methanol, I would compete against the head of the producers, and the only way I can finish that is by finishing them off. Well, what's the fun of that for me? I rather prefer to make money and make a good product like gasoline. 7 million tons of methanol is a hell of a lot. It's a quarter of the demand worldwide. But 3 million tons of gasoline is like a drop in a bucket.
And so your vision of this is to create methanol on the North Slope, run it down taps, pull it out at Valdez, have a gasoline conversion plant at Valdez, and then ship that to market. Yeah,
correct, sir.
Okay, and you're looking at doing this in conjunction with the producers, the owners of gas on the North Slope, as being partners in this venture, or are you looking at somebody to go forward and then buy gas from the producers and doing that separately?
We have met with three of the four producers, ExxonMobil in Houston, BP, and ConocoPhillips. In fact, it was ExxonMobil who suggested for me to go to Alaska and talk to some other producers, and maybe I could make some stock to some sense into them that it may be a foursome, for example. I have three producers signing up with Janus. Everybody takes, say, 25%, for example, and you do it combined. The moment you have one or two of those players in the boat, you can go to a bank. That's key. I can't do this on my own. It's too big for a small company to do this on its own. You need partners. And the guys with the money are also the guys who have the gas. And Phillips Conoco said, we are not going to sell you the gas. We want to sell the gasoline. BP said, you piqued our interest. I know the interest of ExxonMobil. It doesn't make sense to keep on pumping that gas back into the ground and getting it back out. They want to see money, too. You know, $2 a million for 640,000 or 640 million a day is $1.28 million a day for the producer. And that could be times seven, just on gas alone.
Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. And just so you know that we've been looking at this as well. Unfortunately, Representative Newman isn't here. He's been looking at gas liquids. Of course, we haven't been looking at your technology, which sounds like it would be more efficient than the other processes, because what we've been looking at is a problem from Fischer-Tropsch is waxing even when you mix, and all those experiments with the BP fluids that were produced in North Kenai have been done in mixing and doing all that. It sounds like, you know, obviously methanol going down a pipeline is not there, doesn't have those same issues at all. But we have also been, over the last year and a half, talking with Revenue about point of production and, you know, where royalties taken, where gas taxes are taken. Is there a way that the state can work in conjunction, so taking and not taxing up front and using the allowing the gas, the conversion gas, not to be taxed for royalty, to then taxing at the output. And so I'm not suggesting that this is for you, but I just wanted to let you know that we have been investigating and looking at trying to utilize TAPS as well. And I think that I'm very happy that you've come here today and presented this to us, that allows one more option, potentially a very good option for monetizing our North Slope gas with outputting the $30 to $40 billion and the high tariff rates that would have to be in there for high pressure natural gas line. So
yes.
I really appreciate your coming, and so does everybody else, I believe. Are there any other questions before we adjourn?
I'd just like to thank you, Mr. Chairman, for inviting me over for this presentation. Maybe things get a little further along, we can have a joint meeting in Anchorage to have these gentlemen back in a much more detailed conversation.
And I think that would be very good and advisable. And what we've done here is we were just really happy to get this on the table at the end of the session, so people can be aware of it and thinking about it, and so that if something comes up where we need to have a meeting, everybody won't be cold to the idea. And so appreciate that. I guess we don't have our pictures here, do we, Representative Feige? Are they?
They're in my office.
Do you want to? Maybe we'll just
arrange with them to hang them.
Okay, and so the committee knows we've got two pictures to add to the room here for resources. Representative Feige, you want to
they were donated
to describe them?
They were donated by the Farm Bureau, two farming scenes, nicely framed, about yay big. One is in